Welcome to Penance and Purgatory. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Wesley.
And this is the podcast where you can't tell whether we're in hell or not.
How are you?
We a mess.
That is accurate.
We've been hit record, well, at least I hit record, like almost 7 minutes ago. And we have just been a fucking train wreck of unattention rambling that entire time.
Usually it's closer to 10 minutes for us, by the way.
I know, but still.
To start off, I would like by mentioning it has come to our attention that episode 50, the audio has been fucked up for apparently far too long. So, it's all fixed now, so if you haven't listened to it, go listen to it.
If you couldn't hear Wes before, go back and listen to it.
Yes.
Yeah. We know that shit was just pretty bad, so we got all those issues fixed, and hopefully now it should all be Gucci.
I have not heard you use that term ever in this context.
I have literally never used that term in that context.
I do it explicitly over text message.
Yeah, no, I don't. I was just trying to be one of the cool kids.
Have you ever been one of the cool kids, Abigail?
You already know that I have never been one of the cool kids. Like, I am not even one of the cool kids if I am the only person in the group.
All right, then.
What is your weird-ass question for the day?
So, before we go into that, actually, I'll ask you the question. Okay, do you want the weird question or the weirder question?
I have to answer two?
No, you get one of them this time and the next one next week.
Let's start with the weirder question this week.
Okay, so I got this one from church.
Great.
So, well, one of my friends at church. If you cut off one toe and had to bury it somewhere in the world, what toe would you cut off and where would you bury it? And it has to be a different country. And while you're thinking about this, I have a fun story. So, for my spooky fun fact this episode, I had heard something throughout the week. I was like, that is hilarious. I'm going to use that as my spooky fun fact. Looked it up. It was just a myth. What this was about fake eyelashes. The myth was that they were originally invented in, like, late 19th century by a French prostitute. And what she had called them translates roughly to cumbrellas. But unfortunately, that is not true, so that's just what I had to go with. So I had to go with something else. I don't know why the fuck I said that.
That is a quality meme.
Cumbrellas?
Yeah.
In the video I was watching, that one of the girls, like, she said, I can attest to the fact that that is accurate. It's like, oh, okay.
Yep. So if I had to cut off one of my toes, I would cut off not my pinky toe, but like the one to the right of it or to the left of it. Doesn't really matter.
Which foot?
Probably my left foot.
Are you right footed?
I'm neither footed. My ankles are fucking terrible. And so they just kind of take turns being the worst.
Just chop off the whole foot while you're at it.
So I would take that toe off because the pinky toe is actually really integral to the way our balance works.
It's mostly the pinky toe and the big toe.
Exactly.
Those are the two most important ones.
And I feel like any of the other toes would also help with, like, weight distribution of when I walk and stuff, because I usually walk on, like, more on my tiptoes than on my heel. So
you're a fucking weirdo.
I know. I am. I secretly wanted to be a ballerina. No. I did ballet when I was, like, 5 for a few months, and I was the worst.
And that's why your ankles are fucked up.
No. I just have no balance or flexibility. It's just not fun. But I figured if I cut off that toe, it would be the least likely to affect my level of mobility and balance.
See, I feel like the middle toe would probably be the best one to chop off.
I went between that one and the one that I chose.
Okay, so are you ready for this story?
What other weirdness? Sorry, because this entire thing has been fucking bizarre. Do you have in store for me?
So, I realized in the process of doing these notes, like, yeah, no, I can't make this into one episode. So I'm going to have to make this into what I think is going to be a 3-to-5-part series.
Oh, so you,
I pulled an Abigail.
I was going to say you, what was the serial killer I talked about that I thought was going to be one episode, but was going to be
three Therese episodes? Rasmussen?
No. Well, yes, but no.
Well, you're going to talk about one of his victims, and then it just led you down this rabbit hole.
Yes. No. Why the fuck can't I remember it? He sent a bunch of letters to the cops.
The Zodiac Killer?
Yes, the Zodiac Killer.
How the fuck did you forget about the Zodiac Killer?
My brain is just not working today, honestly. Like, it might as well be a baked potato inside my skull, because that's how useful it is at the moment.
Okay, so I'm going to apologize in advance if there's any confusion in this. And I will clarify anything up as we need to, as we go through it.
I will try to guide you through this strange tour through Wes's brain of...
Yes. That will be needed.
Yeah.
So, ask questions if there's anything that needs explaining. So, we're just going to start off with that apology. And we're just going to jump right into this. So, you're familiar with the word demon today, correct? Demon today, what the fuck? You're familiar with the word demon, correct?
I was about to say, I'm not familiar with the word demon and today combined, but I'm familiar with the word separately, yes.
Okay, what comes to your mind when you think of a demon?
Since I was raised in a Christian religion, typically it would be like the Christian interpretation of what a demon is.
Okay.
Basically just like evil little fuckers that come onto earth to disrupt God's plan. Hypothetically.
Okay, the way you describe it just reminds me of like imps.
Yes. Kind of.
Don't worry. There'll be like a whole like half an episode dedicated to Christianity in the series. So, yes, Abigail, get ready for that. I don't have this whole thing planned out yet, so we're going to see how this shit goes.
Please send Ambien.
Ambien? Isn't yes. that a sleeping medication that makes a lot of people do like weird shit?
It's a sedative, yes.
The only reason I know of Ambien is because I watched South Park, and this is going to sound like a fucking drug trip. So, for their Christmas episode, they have something called Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo. It's literally just a sentient turd that jumps around that has a Santa hat on. And he takes Ambien and just, like, does a bunch of weird fucked up shit whenever he takes Ambien. The English word for demon is a translation of the Greek word daemon, which means spirit. Daemon is not necessarily good or evil. It's just used as a broad term. So this episode is going to be... Well, this episode/series is going to be partially a throwback to episode 6 that I'm sure Abigail does not remember.
Because that was say, that's a really two long and a half, time
that
ago.
That was like a year and a half ago, 2 years
and
ago.
And honestly, I don't think I could tell you what episode 51 was about.
What was episode 51 about?
Yeah.
I have a terrible memory. You say you have a really good memory, but you actually don't.
I have a good memory, but then, like, my brain just chooses to block out whenever we start doing podcast episodes.
Yeah, so in that episode, I talked about Inanna. Do you remember anything about
Right.
I have no idea what the fuck you talked about. I only know because I went back and looked it up.
I think that was Cicada.
Cicada was episodes 2 and 3, Abigail.
What episode are we talking about then?
Episode 6.
Oh.
It was Dyatlov Part 2.
Oh.
See, like, our first 10 episodes, I can tell you what all of them were, I think. Maybe in order.
Yeah, no, I can't.
And then we started titling our episodes weird stuff, and I don't remember after that. Okay, so we're going back to ancient Mesopotamia.
Okay.
So,
you want to give anyone a time reference for when that was?
The first millennia BC is where we are, approximately.
Yep.
Granted, there are many chapters in history textbooks dedicated to ancient Mesopotamia.
It was highly significant because ancient Mesopotamia came up with a lot of different ideas that we still utilize today. Like the way that crops are watered in fields is still based on the system that people came up with in ancient Mesopotamia.
I thought you were about to say something about crop circles, and I got very confused.
No, not crop circles. No aliens.
Who doesn't love crop circles? Okay, but so, in ancient Mesopotamia, demons were sent by gods as punishment for sin or to remind one of their duty to the gods and others in their community. But demons weren't always evil, and they were capable of doing, you know, good things. So a lot of Near Eastern demons have fallen into obscurity and nobody knows anything about them anymore. And they don't invoke fear like they did back then. But today we're going to be talking about one of them. The most well-known out of all of them. Abigail knows this because I forgot that I hadn't covered it and I brought it up the other day.
This is accurate.
So I was like, well, fuck it, now I have to do this. And then it turned into a whole thing. So now I'm doing a series on this god, demon god, whole bunch of other shit.
Have you noticed that, like, minor things tend to become a whole thing with us?
Yeah, usually you, though.
Yeah.
You far underestimate how big your episode is. Okay, but today we're going to be talking about Pazuzu.
Okay.
So, he was the son of Hanabi, who is the king of the demons of the underworld. And the brother to Humbaba, who is the demon god protector of the cedar forest in the Epic of Gilgamesh, which I will cover eventually. Do you know anything about this, Abigail, besides the name?
Nothing.
Okay. So, we are going to talk about what he looks like.
Okay.
So, he's bipedal.
If he's anything like the video game demons, he's gonna be hot.
Not touching that. So...
And he's going to be definitely my type of, like, very emo.
The concern is growing, Abigail. I mean, I could see you being into this, though. So, he's on two legs. He has human arms ending in claws with two pairs of wings, a scorpion tail, a snake-headed erect penis.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm done.
He has horns and a beard with bulging eyes and a canine-esque mouth.
I'm out.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. Here, let me see if I can find a picture. I did not look up any pictures for this because I didn't feel like they were necessary.
I've been scratched by enough ex-boyfriend's claws. I'll pass.
Okay, there we go. That's usually how he's depicted.
Yeah, no, I'm a pass.
You're not in it for the snake-headed erect penis?
Nah, not my type.
Uh-huh. Okay, so... There were amulets with images of his body, but usually just his head, that were very common in the first century BC.
Probably so because no one wanted to take time to carve a snake-headed penis.
I mean, maybe they did. That picture's too small for me to really tell.
It just seems like a lot of work for a penis.
But you want it to be a demon anatomically correct penis.
I was about to say, it's a snake head. How anatomically correct of a penis can it get?
It's anatomically correct for it.
Okay, Wes.
So, he's the most famous one. And there's a reason for that. Because, and we're not going to dive into this, it's just a passing comment. He was the demon who possesses Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
Okay.
And then we're just going to sprint right past that and move on. Because if I added everything with him to do in The Exorcist, that would add on a whole other episode of this. And it's already going to be a long series. Long for me, at least. I don't do 9-part series on the CIA. Because I'm not a masochist, at least in that way. So, he is said to have control over the west and southwest winds, which were thought to come from the land of the dead. And as the controller of the winds, he had the power to bring pestilence and famine over the lands, as he so desired. He was also known to breathe swarms of locusts, and could create poisonous clouds of acidic waste with his breath at will. Okay. Sounding even more and more like your type.
What?
What? So, he's also known to have basically dark vision.
What does that mean? If you're familiar.
From D&D.
Oh. You should probably still explain to the listeners, because... they might not know.
Okay, so it's dark vision, but like dark vision plus. So he can see things without really being able to. So here, I'll just read this. So his low light vision as well as blind sight. Blind sight is when you can perceive your surroundings without actually being able to see them.
Okay.
But yeah, but low light vision is basically like dark vision. You can see in the dark for 60 meters, I think. In D&D.
That sounds about right.
Or is it 30? It's something like that. I don't know. I haven't DM'd in a while.
It's some factorial of 3.
Yeah, so he's also said to be able to speak many languages and be able to talk telepathically. Because, you know, that's always a good time.
I would be so pissed if we could do that.
If we could talk telepathically?
Yes.
Because then you get all the weird shit that goes through my head.
Yes, it would never stop. 1 minute I'd be like trying to think of like some complex coding problem, and then the next I would hear Wes' brain thinking like, chaos!
So he also has a magical greatsword that gave him impressive speed and agility. No comment on that one.
The ladies must love him.
They do, actually. But we'll get to that, I think, in the next episode.
Okay, then. Do we have an entire episode on all his...
It's not sexual exploits as to why women love him.
Love affairs?
No. We're not going into that. At least I don't plan on it. I haven't found anything like that, but if I do, I'll throw it in just for you.
I do love good love story.
Unless it's Zeus.
Zeus
will sleep with anything. Zeus will fuck anything that has a pulse.
Zeus needs to get some better sex toys.
Moving on. So Pazuzu was fond of corrupting beings that he considered innocent and pure. Me in high school.
I thought you were saying that you enjoyed corrupting things when you were in high school, and I was laughing at that idea.
No, I was a very innocent child in high school. That at least for correct. Like freshman year. Everything after that started to go downhill a little bit. And then eventually it just took a steep drop off. So he would prey on any mortal that turned to him for help. But would almost always make them regret asking for his help.
Oh, so it's like asking for that one relative that every family has.
Yeah, I was going to say Karen, but I have a relative named Karen, so.
So it's like the Karen, but not specifically your Karen.
Yes, I mean, my Aunt Karen's very nice.
Good job, Karen, on being a good Karen.
She doesn't know this podcast exists.
You give Karens a bad name.
I don't know if that's copyright or not, because it's just far enough away, but the tune, I think, might be trademarked.
If they can manage to catch us with my bad singing, I will be impressed.
So, he said to be fond of offering help that appeared benevolent, but would end up requiring them to ask for more help from him. And then he would cause him to become more and more in debt to his services until he corrupted them entirely.
Yeah,
he would eagerly seek out victims to corrupt them and sentence to an afterlife of eternal agony in the abyss. We'll get to the abyss in the next episode. Because that is a very loaded topic. It's kind of like hell, but kind of more complicated. And not very clear.
Okay.
He would also corrupt people by disguising himself as other gods. He would grant prayers of those who sought his mercy and would often use these victims to spread cults and worship his name. And keep in mind, when I say cult, I don't mean, like, your definition of a cult.
You cult mean the scientific definition of a cult.
So, basically, the term cult used in worship of various gods in the olden days basically means, like, the veneration of that god. Basically, like the groups of people and how they would worship them.
So it's what we would use the word sect for now.
Yes. Not like destroy your life and brainwash you kind of cult. Yeah. Not like Jonestown. The other kind of cult.
Or Scientology.
There's a video that, if I find it, we'll post it in the sources page, like explaining it. Because, I mean, the guy had talked about a different type of cult before, and people were like, why are you using the term cult? And then he goes into it. He's a literal doctor in the subject, so he can explain it better than I can. So if I find it, Abigail, remind me to find it.
Will do.
We'll put that in the sources page. So it said that if you invoke his name three consecutive times, that he would be able to read the thoughts of the person trying to summon him. And then he could appear next to them and grant their wishes to make them feel, you know, indebted to his service.
So he's the Bloody Mary version of a genie.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
And then he would do that to kind of just spread his influence to whole communities. And then this was just a fun anecdote that I didn't really know where else to put this, but it's not really an anecdote, it's kind of long. But I didn't know where else to put this. So, a lot of his worshippers were apparently evil flying creatures.
Nice.
And I have a list of those creatures right here. So, okay. if you play D&D, you might know this first one. Kenku?
Yep.
So, for those who don't know, it's like a bird and a human had a child. They have the head of a bird, humanoid arms and legs, and their hands and feet are like bird-like claws and talons. They're very selfish and always try to acquire wealth and power. And they can't fly. Next is harpies. Basically, again, evil bird kind of things, but they can fly. They're always pictured having a female upper body and a lower reptilian half that always ended in sharp talons of a bird.
I mean, honestly, they're exactly what you see in World of Warcraft.
Not everyone plays WoW, Abigail.
They should.
So they have beautiful wings, and but are considered to be unclean. Do it that way you will. And they also have irresistible songs that act as charms to lure in their victims. Kind of like sirens. Go see episode 8, which is Rasulki, I think. It's a long time ago. Yes. We're calling back this episode.
Yeah, we are.
To the olden days. Clearly, I haven't touched on a lot of these topics in a very long time.
To the olden days.
The olden days. Was that when pre-COVID? I was a
boy.
I don't remember. Was that pre-COVID?
No, the podcast was pre-COVID.
Okay, I can remember if we started in October 2019 or 2020. The last few years have kind of blurred together.
That is highly accurate.
Okay, so next up we have gargoyles.
If you don't know what a gargoyle is, I can't really help you.
So, at least in this context, from the source that I found, the gargoyles are evil creatures that enjoy inflicting pain on other creatures. Basically, they're into BDSM. They are often described as eating their victims alive to enjoy hearing the screams.
Okay, but it's non-consensual, so not BDSM.
It's non-consensual BDSM.
That's not BDSM.
All right. So
it's just being an asshole.
So it's also common for them to work for evil masters. And they are also sometimes paid with treasures. But most gargoyles will serve an evil purpose as long as they're able to hurt and torture others.
Yep, just being an asshole.
Next up we have manticores, which I never realized that manticores could fly.
I feel like I did.
Oh, well,
for
I guess...
for some weird reason.
So, manticores are a hybrid beast that have the head of a man, the body of a lion, and have dragon wings. Apparently, they are also impossible to kill, and were known for their great love of human flesh. Next, we have wyverns. I'm not sure of the pronunciation. I've heard it pronounced both ways, and I've had both sides tell me that I'm wrong on my pronunciation. So,
I would just go with wyvern, honestly.
Okay. So, they're like, imagine, like, dragons, but they don't have front legs. They just have two legs and wings, and they kind of like walk around really weirdly. That's kind of what they are.
And they're typically smaller.
Yes. So they're not as intelligent as dragons. They're also poisonous and have sharp teeth and claws. This also says that they were used as mounts, so do with that what you will.
Also World of Warcraft.
Also Fae, just broadly Fae. But specifically the evil Fae were the ones who worshipped Pazuzu. Fae are basically considered to be any type of creature with supernatural abilities. I think we've talked about them briefly. I feel like.
Yes.
Also, evil dragons worship him. So, a lot of people wonder why they would risk summoning him if they knew that he was evil.
People get desperate.
Yes. Desperation. But also other reasons. So those who worshipped him or prayed on behalf often believe that as long as they offered him sacrifices and were very careful with their practice, that he would use his wrath against their enemies instead of them.
Unlikely.
So many who worshipped him would carve small statues or idols in his shape to invoke his protection. And it's thought that since he was a powerful demon, that he could provide protection against equally powerful demons and or the wrath of the gods. And so the ancient Sumerians would carve images of, you know, beings of the underworld. And because they believed that the carving of the chosen demon would capture their attention. That's important. Because there were never any large statues created for Pazuzu, because they were afraid that they would bring too much attention to the creator and would attract more than just his protection. In other words, he would fuck up your life in all kinds of ways.
It was the gentle notice me senpai.
Yes. And then we're just gonna go ahead and end it there. Before everything starts getting way too complicated. Otherwise, we'll be at this for, like, 3 to 4 hours.
Nice.
I imagine. Do you have any questions?
No. It actually made sense.
And then we'll get into the Abyss and all that in the next episode.
Okay.
That's going to be most of next episode. Things Abyss related.
Everyone's favorite segment, Spooky Fun Fact.
So, in 2007, there was a woman named Jennifer Strange. She was 28, and she was found dead on a Friday in her suburban Rancho Cordova home, hours after taking a part in a Hold Your Wii for a Wii contest. In which KDND, which was 1079, had promised a Nintendo Wii system for the winner. So she had competed in this radio station's contest. You see how much water you can drink without going to the bathroom. She drank a gallon of water over 3 hours, didn't pee, and apparently ended up dying of water intoxication, according to a coroner.
Which is actually possible.
Yes.
Because, like, your cells can drown.
Oh, yeah. No, it's... Like, don't hold your pee.
The cells in your body, they have to go through a process to equalize the pressure inside the cell to the outside of the cell. And so, like, liquid and other things will, like, transfer in and out of the cell to keep that equilibrium. And so, if there's just too much liquid on the outside of the cell, it'll flood the cell and it'll die. And if too much of those cells die, it will just straight up kill you.
Yeah. So, and that was today's spooky fun fact. Okay. And what do you have for us today, Abigail? Because I'm scared of what I have heard about this one. All I know is that it is rather long.
So, we might be stalked after this.
Why?
You'll see.
Oh, you said, I thought you were saying stalked, not stalked. Like, like we're good for a while.
S-T-A-L-K.
Okay. Okay, I was like, well, good that we're going to be stalked, because we're going to need to pre-record a lot, because I'm unavailable for half of June and the last week of May.
No.
Why are we going to be stalked? It's just it's a Scientology.
Kind of.
Are we going to be stalked by the Church of Scientology?
Maybe.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. What horror do you have for me and everyone else today?
So, welcome back. We are gathered here today to discuss the history of two of the major players in the hacktivism community, And as I write that, I realize I am sounding like a marriage officiant.
Wait, you didn't realize that when you wrote it?
That's what I just said.
Fucking Becky.
Penance of purgatory, fulfilling all of your weird podcast and wedding needs.
Hey, yeah, Abigail, I feel like you'd totally officiate a wedding.
Yes. Probably. I would officiate your wedding.
You can get ordained online for like $20.
I know. If you wanted me to, I would officiate your wedding.
One of my friends got ordained in the middle of a D&D game. Okay.
All right. Anyways. So, we are going to begin by talking about Cult of the Dead Cow. And then we're going to scoot into Anonymous. So let's get into it. And this is your
kind of cult, not my kind of cult.
Not quite.
Okay.
So let's get into it, because we have a lot of ground to cover. Okay. So Cult of the Dead Cow, which is not like a culty cult. It's like the name of the group.
Okay.
Was created in June of 1984 by Grandmaster Rat, Franken Gibb, Sid Vicious, and three system administrators of a kind of program called a BBS. A BBS is a bulletin board system which allows for the sharing of messages, software, data, etc.
Okay, I thought you said VBS, like Vacation Bible School.
No.
I'm waiting for the explanation. I was like, I don't think that is right.
No. If it was that, I would be like, triggered! So basically, it's just a digital bulletin board. So Cult of the Dead Cow created and updated several different bulletin board systems throughout the U.S. and Canada. In December of 1990, Jesse Dryden, one of the Cult of the Dead Cow members, also having the username of Drunk Fucks, created a hack. It's drunk and then F-U-X.
I kind of assumed.
Created a hackers convention amusingly named Ho-Ho-Con.
Ho-Ho-Con?
Yep.
What the fuck?
It was also the first hackers convention to invite journalists and law enforcement to it. Drunk Fucks would host five more of these conventions before finally deciding to no longer do that. But the legacy left by them was longstanding. It became the baseline for whatever hacker conventions would become.
Are hacker conventions like actually a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Even to this day?
Yes.
I'm not in those parts of the internet, so.
There's many notable ones.
Interesting.
October of 1994, Cult of the Dead Cow would again carve their name in hacker history. They became the first hacking group to get a Usenet news group. So Usenet news group were popular before the World Wide Web. I know. Shocking. Which is the current internet system that we have today. They function similarly to discussion boards, kind of like Reddit or 4chan. So alt.fan.cult/dead/cow was the name of the Usenet news group. And they use such a historical privilege to do very humanitarian things, like claiming they gave Ronald Reagan Alzheimer's disease with a blow dart.
What? What?
Yeah.
Well, that's a genetic condition.
Yeah.
Not like... Yeah. I don't think you can do that with a fucking blow dart.
So, while Reagan was actually diagnosed with Alzheimer's 5 years after he left office, there's no scientific research to support the idea that the disease can be contracted by any form of, like, injection or blow dart or anything like that. There isn't any clear known cause of the disease, but there is evidence that it can be hereditary, and risk factors can be things like head injuries, diabetes, high blood pressure, and smoking, alcohol abuse, etc.
Okay. Sounds like a good time. Alcohol abuse.
Banned. So, I want you to take note of the kind of things that Cult of the Dead Cow is responsible for up until this point.
Oh, dear.
They were very well known for being sardonic, clever, and occasionally highly inappropriate trolls.
Define sardonic.
Just kind of, like, clever and sarcastic. With just, like, a touch of bitter.
So you. Except it's, instead of a touch of bitter, it's like somebody threw a whole fucking pot full of bitter onto you.
Thanks, Wes.
I got you.
This podcast is sponsored by throwing acid in your best friend's face.
How is that acid?
No, I'm saying that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay.
Not really. FBI don't come for me. So, just keep this in mind. They are pretty much just, like, kind of trolly, just, like, clever, smart asses, basically.
It's what I do to you, essentially.
Yes, but they are more inappropriate about it.
Okay.
Which is saying a lot. Because you can definitely be inappropriate.
You're telling me that?
I'm just saying. So, in 1991, a Usenet news group was created to discuss the practices and beliefs of the Church of Scientology. We're going to have a whole discussion later on about Anonymous's battle with Scientology, so I will leave most of my broader description till then. I will say this now, though. Franch has declared the church to be a dangerous cult, convicting it of organized fraud, and many other governments are coming to agree with that conclusion. Cult of the Dead Cow agreed with this assessment and decided to declare war on the Church of Scientology. They made a statement, which I will read to you. A statement from Cult of the Dead Cow, CDC Communications. It is our beliefs that L. Ron Old Mother Hubbard is to be held accountable for the deaths of thousands of innocent men, women, and children in the killing fields of Phnom Penh, as we suspect that Pol Pot was a Scientologist. We believe that L. Ron Hubbard is actually none other than Heinrich Himmler of the SS, who fled to Argentina and is now responsible for the stealing of babies from hospitals and raising them as super soldiers for the purpose of overthrowing the U.S. Fed government in a bloody revolution. We fear plans for a Fourth Reich to be established on our home soil under the vice-like grip of oppression known as Scientology. In order to preserve our way of life and keep the torch of freedom lit, for future generations, we feel it is our duty as responsible world citizens to declare war on the so-called Church of Scientology. As future developments occur, we will broadcast them to the free world as soon as possible. Thank you for your time. S-Rat, Cult of the Dead Cow, CDC Communications, Fearless Leader.
I would like to point out how you wildly mispronounced Heinrich Himmler.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You did not pronounce either of the H's.
I know. It's a force of habit.
Why?
Because when I'm trying to pronounce a word or a name that I don't recognize as being, like, a traditionally English name, I immediately go into how I would pronounce it in Spanish, which is to cut the H's out.
See, I can pronounce most names in English, German, and Spanish.
Yeah, no, I just suck. So,
if it looks German, ask me how to pronounce it.
Okay.
I can probably get it right. Maybe.
So, I want to discuss the tone of this statement. How the fuck did you get in here?
Sorry, my door was closed, and then all of a sudden the dog is in here.
Okay. You good?
Yeah, I just wasn't there. There was just suddenly a doggo.
So I want to discuss the tone of this statement. Obviously, the members who came together to make this statement don't actually believe that L. Ron Hubbard, who is the leader of Scientology, they don't actually think that he is a member of Soviet Russia or going to be responsible for the Fourth Reich or converted Pol Pot to be a Scientologist. Like, that's not actually what they believe. But they don't like the way that Scientology is approaching their own business and other people's business. And so they're doing their attack in their own specific way, which is, again, this very trolly, sardonic, clever, smart-assy, bitter humor. In 1996, Cult of the Dead Cow launched their Ninja Strike Force, which it was what it was called, because what else would you call it when you have a strike force? Why wouldn't you call it a ninja strike force? Which worked to achieve the goals of the group. Members were chosen from the group, from like the larger group of Cult of the Dead Cow, because of their dedication to it as well as their skills and talents. In 1999, they created a subgroup, which we discussed in the last episode, called Hacktivismo. To spare you the torture of me stuttering over their name repeatedly, I will just remind you that they created the Hacktivismo Declaration, which was essentially the Hippocratic Oath for hacktivists. So in February of 2000, Mudge from Cult of the Dead Cow briefed Mudge. The president. Yes. That was his cult name, is just Mudge.
What would your cult name be?
The first thing that came to my mind was Susie for some reason.
All right, you're Susie now.
I hate it.
Or would you rather be Susan?
No. Hell no.
What'd you say earlier about Pazuzu being Karen? You're the worst of the you give Susans a bad name.
You give Susans a bad name. So, Mudge from Cult of the Dead Cow briefed the president at the time, which was Bill Clinton, on internet security. My guess is that Hillary wasn't included in that meeting.
Oh my gosh.
I was very pleased with myself when I wrote that joke.
See, you have to write your jokes. I just fucking wing it.
I never write jokes.
Clearly never is a lie, because you've done it at least a couple times.
I've written a joke in there, like, twice.
But you've done it, so it's not never. Seldomly you do.
Oh my god. It's not never. Are you really gonna well actually me right now?
Yes.
You're lucky you're cute.
Moving on.
So, in 2006, Cult of the Dead Cow launched their Gulag campaign.
Oh. Which,
Gulag, in this case, is spelled G-O-O-L-A-G.
Okay.
That's better. It was a play on Gulag camps. Yes. But also Google, the company. Okay. Google, at the time, agreed to submit to China's oppressive internet censorship laws in China, which they are still doing today. So, like, if someone in China goes to Google and searches something, China has told Google a list of things that they have to leave out. And Google is just like, yep, let me take that out for you, sir. Then fuck me in the ass, sir. Thanks.
Getting pegged by China.
Yeah. So their slogan for this campaign read Gulag, exporting censorship, one search at a time. Okay. So Cult of the Dead Cow also worked with other hacktivist groups like the Hong Kong Blondes. They've also released a number of tools like the Automated Prayer Project, where random prayers are run through a rosary strung with copper wires, which I actually think is kind of clever. Like, I don't think it works because me, but I think it's actually pretty clever. Back Orifice, which is a tool for system administration, and Scatter Chat, which is an encrypted instant messaging system.
What was the last one called?
Scatter Chat.
The one before that one.
Back Orifice.
Back Orifice.
Yes.
And you're just gonna blow right past that.
I mean, it's a system administration tool.
You do realize why I'm pointing this out, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And blew right past it.
It fits right in line with their brand, though, of being very, like, cheeky and trolly. Mm. Of, like, this is a professional tool that people, like, companies actually pay for even today to manage their digital systems.
They're paying and for it's that called back orifice.
Back orifice.
They're paying for the back orifice.
Yeah.
I'm a child.
Yeah.
Continue, please.
So, now, it's time to talk about Anonymous.
Okay, I don't think you said anything that's going to get us stalked yet.
Yet. So, Anonymous has a long and illustrious career, which still continues today, actually. And we are going to get through as much as possible today, but this will definitely continue into the next episode and possibly into another episode after that.
Oh dear, we're going to have two series running at the same time.
You already knew that.
You act like I remembered the fact that you said you were doing a series. I did not remember until you talked about it mid-recording.
We started this series in episode 49.
And?
Why do you have the memory of a goldfish?
I'm sorry, the podcast is not always the thing at the top of my mind.
It's not at the top of my mind either.
Yes, but you have a half-decent memory. I forget what I'm talking about halfway through my goddamn sentences.
I also write notes for myself.
If I'm not, like, outside of podcasting, I forget what I'm talking about halfway through.
Oh, I know.
It's bad, probably.
So, the idea behind Anonymous was based on the general anonymity offered by posting on the internet. Someone could post something on a website like 4chan, and they wouldn't need to enter a username to post anything. They could just go under the title of Anonymous. This image was furthered by the joke that some users would make that maybe all of the Anonymous users were really all just one person.
Okay.
It was even furthered when one of the system administrators on 4chan initiated a forced anon protocol, which would make every user posting look like they were posting as anonymous.
Alright then.
So, 4chan, a website with a bunch of different message boards around different subjects, was particularly popular among computer geeks at the time, which is around 2003. One of the most popular
time.
Yeah. One of the most popular of these boards on 4chan was /B/. It's usually just referred to as B. It was initially meant to be a menagerie of random shit and quickly became a place to post the most shitposty, trolly stuff one could find. Users on this board would commonly engage in raids or, like, massive pranks on other sites and services.
Okay.
So one of these pranks was a raid on a game called Habbo Hotel. It was kind of like an early preteen slash teen Club Penguin. A game where Club these Penguin. Miners... Yeah. A game where miners... A game where these miners could go and hang out in digital settings with, like, these avatars and chat with other users under the guise of, like, well, they don't know who I am because I have an avatar that doesn't look like me and I'm not actually telling them my name and anything like that. So, during these raids, pranksters would block all access to, like, the pool in one area for the, like, legit users who, like, wanted to use the pool for some reason, and claimed that it was closed for maintenance or due to AIDS.
What?
The pranksters would say that the pool was, the digital pool in this game was closed due to AIDS.
Okay, I did hear that right.
Yep. They would also, like, get together in one area and have, like, all of their avatars line up so it would make the shape of, like, a penis or a swastika.
Okay.
Because why wouldn't you?
Okay.
One report by a Fox One report by a Fox Broadcasting System channel in LA called the pranksters domestic terrorists and hackers on steroids.
Hackers on steroids.
I definitely wouldn't go that far in describing them. For the most part, what they did was pretty harmless. They might have taught some new curse words to 10-year-olds, but besides that, I'm really not too miffed about it.
Miffed?
This, however, started the Collective, which would later be known as Anonymous. So in 2004, Encyclopedia Dramatica was a site which was created to essentially be a gossip site about any drama occurring on LiveJournal, which at the time was a social networking site.
LiveJournal was a social networking site?
It started as one.
Interesting. Okay.
So it kind of got overrun by Anonymous, posting memes and doing more overall shit posting. They also had discussions of things like internet security and censorship because, again, computer nerds. The website's existence was then pulled and redirected to some unrelated shit. And Anonymous and the larger Encyclopedia Dramatica community did not like. So Anonymous decided to recreate the site, and a downloadable archive of the former website's content is still available today that you can view if you really want to. And so now we get to one of Anonymous's biggest projects to date. Project Chainology. So on January 15th, 2008, the news website Gawker posted an interview with Tom Cruise about Scientology. During the entire interview, Tom Cruise praised the Church of Scientology, and that praise was never refuted during the interview. The entire interview was positive. Regardless, the Church of Scientology sent them a cease and desist letter for copyright reasons.
Okay.
The claim was definitely bullshit. Like, I can talk about Coca-Cola products without it being copyright struck, just like I can talk about the Catholic Church without it being copyright struck. Religious status, money, or tax-exempt status does not magically change copyright law.
Yes, it does. Don't you know how capitalism works?
No. So, Anonymous responded with fury at this blatant attempt at censoring journalism, where it wasn't even fucking needed. Tom Cruise is literally one of the biggest supporters of the church to this day, and him speaking positively about the church isn't a threat to them whatsoever. So Anonymous prank called their hotlines, like, constantly. Sent continuous faxes to Church of Scientology fax numbers and DDoSed them. Remember, DDoSed is a distributed denial of service attack. Programs like Gigaloader, JMeter, and Low Orbit Ion Cannon were used. What those programs do is that a user would type in the IP address of a Scientology computer or server, and millions of packets of data and requests would be flooding into them, far too fast for those systems to take. And it would just, like, crash them. So, a group of Anonymous posted a video to Scientology to tell them, for the good of your followers, for the good of mankind, for the laughs, we shall expel you from the internet. On February 10th, thousands of Anonymous members protested outside Scientology buildings wearing masks, often Guy Fawkes masks. If there's one thing you will learn about Anonymous, it is that they don't stand for censorship of journalism, journalists, or citizens, ever. For it to be done by a malicious cult made it even more egregious. So let's talk about the Church of Scientology.
And here we go.
Very succinctly. The Church of Scientology at this moment is continuously making money off of people by selling them this idea that if you come into our group, you will be given these services similar to, like, therapy, and you will be given this new identity and this new relationship, and it will make your life so much better. And you only have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for that, and you only have to sign billion-year contracts for it. And you only have to...
billion-year contracts?
Like, literally a billion years.
Okay.
To join one of their, like, major groups, you have to sign a billion-year contract. That you will devote your life to the group.
That's a little sketchy.
And someone as young as 12 years old can sign it.
Oh. Alright then.
Obviously it's not, like, something that would stand up in court, because the Church of Scientology can't say, like, well, this dead body isn't doing anything for the next 12 billion years for my church. He needs to get his ass up and get moving. Like, that's not gonna fly in a court, but it's still constricting around you. It's tightening their hold around you. And when families get involved, if one person leaves, the other members of the group are told to shun them. Pretend they don't exist. They're never allowed to speak to them again unless they come back to the Church of Scientology and beg for forgiveness. Otherwise, they're done. They don't exist. They're not your daughter. They're not your son. They're not your mom. They're not your dad. They're not your sister. They're not your brother. It doesn't matter. They're gone. They're dead. As well as the fact that, you know, the leader of the church, David Miscavige, has been known to be physically abusive to church members and other things like that. And church members are working for free labor. There's speculation that David Miscavige might have killed his wife because she's been missing for several years, etc., etc. Do I really need to carry on? I get why Anonymous decided Scientology needed to be taken down. Even though their tipping point was this one article for a cult like Scientology to be censoring any journalist, when it absolutely wasn't warranted. Like, even if the interview didn't go well and Gawker was like, I don't get your religion, and they stated all of the facts about the religion and they talked badly about it and posted it, like, the Church of Scientology still would not have had reason to copyright strike that article and that interview. So I completely get why Anonymous did it. The problem was some of the actions that they took to do this were actually illegal. Like, DDoSing to some degree is illegal.
Using the low orbit, it's only illegal if you get caught.
Using the low orbit ion cannon is illegal.
I still can't get over the fact it's something called the low orbit ion cannon. That's so funny.
Yes. So let's talk about the Guy Fawkes masks. It's from a movie. It's from the movie V for Vendetta, where an anarchist in that mask brings down a totalitarian government. In a way, this says more about the mindset of Anonymous than words really ever could. Anonymous saw itself as the chaotic good weapon, there to do damage to the bad guys, which everyone else was just too afraid to touch. Project Chainology brought a lot of people into the fold of Anonymous, and honestly, it marks one of their biggest and most celebrated moments in history. And that's where we're going to end today. Next week, we will keep discussing the history of Anonymous. I will end with a quote from V for Vendetta, because the graphic novel was mind-blowingly cool, and I'm a fucking nerd.
Wait, there was a comic book?
There was a graphic novel, yes.
A comic book.
Graphic novel.
A comic book?
We're not married, but divorce.
All right.
So behind this mask, there's more than just flesh. Behind this mask, there is an idea, and ideas are bulletproof. So if you would like to check us out further on our social medias, you can go to
Pen in Purgatory on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Send us all your comments and suggestions to our email,
penanceinpurgatory@gmail.com.
Like and rate us on,
preferably Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts and Facebook. And I think that's all we have.
All right. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.